The Ira Kaufman Podcast, Down a Man Today without Lee DeKemper, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Right now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, it's the Mission Morse Summer Event. They are out to sell 3,000 vehicles in 60 days with the guaranteed lowest prices, all backed by Morse with their price protection promise. For full details, visit edmorse.com/promise and you could just go to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. You've heard here on the podcast from General Manager Brian Danahy. Feel free to ask for him and check them out at edmorsecadillactampa.com. Fantastic offers this summer. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right there on Causeway Boulevard, get more peace of mind knowing every certified Cadillac comes with a 6-year warranty, roadside assistance, and more. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. All like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. They have their own Mission Morse summer event. And right there, Causeway Boulevard, visit them. We'll hear more later about Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Now it's time for the podcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Happy Tuesday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the great sage, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. He's wearing his Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon blue, and he is here on really what's going to be a dynamic podcast because fans are at the edge of their seats. Ira, how are you?
I'm doing well, Steve. I'm doing well. We're about a month away from training camp. And unlike some Buck fans, I don't believe the season is lost, so I'm looking forward to it. Hard Knocks cameras have been put away. They're going somewhere else. But Hard Knocks have come to one Buck place. And it's all a question of how you deal with it. Steve, if adversity reveals character, we're going to see a lot of revealing in the next month or two. I can tell you that.
Crazy stuff, Ira. Crazy, crazy times. You know, we have yet to discuss what came down late last week.
What came down are reports, not the NFL. That's what came down.
We are waiting on the NFL's version of the truth. But the report came through NFL Network, which in my mind is the NFL.
How shabby is that they would leak that to NFL Network? I mean, Robert Mueller don't say a word for a year and a half. You can't get a peep out of the guy. Now, I'm not trying to equate Jameis Winston with the administration over here in D.C., but can't you keep these things tight until you're ready to make an announcement? You got to give everything to Adam Schefter? Everything?
Well, here's what happened, Ira. Our buddy Jeff Cameron, ESPN Tallahassee, broke the news that the Jameis camp, his team, is expecting a suspension up to 3 games. And then all of a sudden, the next day, citing Cameron's report, Adam Schefter follows up, and Schefter works for ESPN. So NFL Network, of course, hey, we got to get in the act. We have our team of insiders. So they come out through Mike Garofalo and Ian Rappaport combined, whatever. They're saying that not only will he be suspended, but a big part of it is that the league didn't believe Ronald Darby's story in its entirety. Of course, Darby, Jameis's star witness. And now we await the official verdict from the NFL, which, of course, will be important. How many games? But
there's some suggestion out there that the 3 games is not set in stone, Steve. Not set in stone.
I'd imagine it's not set in stone. Look, there are negotiations going on with this kind of stuff. Some people think out there that 6 games has to be it if he really did something. Well, no. Under the conduct policy, if you do something inappropriate, you know, Goodell has some latitude with whatever that might be. And we don't even know, Ira, which I know is in your craw, how much evidence will even factor into this. Is it just a perception game? Which is why that analysis and report from the league, whatever they choose to share with fans, is going to be so important. Quick note, Austin Seferian Jenkins, for example, he had his DUI in Tampa. He got cut. And then all of a sudden the charges are dropped, but he still got suspended for 2 games. Under the conduct policy with the NFL. So there are different layers and levels to...
I want details, Isbits. I demand details. How can you have an 8-month probe, which should have took 8 days, and then make an announcement with a pretty severe penalty? If it's 2 or 3 games, it's severe. Without any details explaining the reason behind your suspension. I mean, some vague thing about the personal conduct policy. I'm sorry. That's not good enough.
Well, what do you want to hear, Ira?
It's not good enough because it's going to affect how the fans look at Jameis Winston. It's possibly going to affect the future of the general manager and the coach. It's certainly going to affect the fortunes of the 2018 Buccaneers. I want details that show why or if there is over – I use that phrase all the time. I'm going to use it again, Steve. Overwhelming evidence that he's guilty as alleged. And if that's true, I'm on record saying chop him up, move forward with another quarterback, and I'm sticking with that. I'm not backing off that. I just don't think we're going to get that in the NFL explanation.
Ira, there's legal ramifications here, Ira, whether you want to believe it or not. If the NFL comes out and says Jameis is guilty of groping, inappropriately sexually touching this woman, if they say that, Jameis can sue them for no evidence, defamation of character, whatever. They're looking at a lawsuit unless they have the evidence, unless they put forth evidence. If they just say it, that our research or whatever, and unless they have rock-solid evidence, they can't say that.
Steve, if you don't have rock-solid evidence, why are you suspending a man for 3 games if you don't have it?
Well, because the NFL doesn't need rock-solid evidence in their world. They don't. They don't, and a lot of fans don't like that,
Ira. Twisted world. It's twisted.
Twisted world. Now, you asked what could be taking so long with this report, and is 3 games set in stone? I think, really want to hear what you think, Ira, but I think that right now the NFL is negotiating with Jameis'
people. Sounds like there's been long-term negotiations going on.
Well, they're negotiating what the report says, right? That report, what we present to fans and the public. Jameis, if you take 4 games.
And you don't appeal.
And you don't appeal.
You don't appeal.
This is what the report will say. Can you live with us saying this, this, and this? And if you can't live with it, when they want Jameis to live with it, because they don't want Jameis to appeal and say the NFL is pulling the wool over everyone's eyes and it's a scam and Goodell's running a kangaroo court. So the PR goes both ways here. And I think Jameis wants to know, before he'll agree not to appeal, he wants to know what's it going to be in that written report.
And, Steve, $1 million question after the report is released. Will Jameis Winston continue, you know, to say that he's innocent of the charge? Will he change that? And will he say, well, I'm not exactly sure what happened. I was in a second Uber. We got confused. I don't remember what happened. I want to know what Winston's going to say. Is he going to change his story? But this is very confusing. No police report. Steve, nothing on paper. You wonder how we ever came to this point. Is an accusation enough in the current environment that we live in, Steve? Is an accusation enough where you can't, if you can't prove you didn't do it, you're going to get slapped down by the commissioner who looks like a regal emperor in some sense?
Well, that's where we sit, Ira. So, you know what? You've been covering the NFL 40 years. We assume it's 70, but it's really 40. And this is where we are. He's going to get suspended. And unless the NFL says, here's the evidence, or Jameis confessed to them and isn't going to do it publicly, who knows? But do the fans need to see some sort of evidence? Do you believe they need that to have faith in the NFL?
Well, I need to see the evidence before I close the book on Jameis Winston. That's me. I want to see beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt that he's guilty. If he's guilty, that is such bad judgment on Winston's part, considering the baggage that he brought into the league as a professional. It would be such disgraceful judgment that in my eyes, that would be enough to get the Bucs off the Winston bandwagon and say, we got to get ourselves another quarterback. I don't think we're going to come to that point, Steve, and that's very frustrating for me. I'm tired of this vague violation of personal conduct policy. It's too vague for me. I don't like vague. I like detail. And I think the Bucs and Winston and Buck fans deserve detail. No detail, no suspension. How do you like that?
All right, Ira. Now, look, let me get it to you this way, because this is a sensitive area. It's not a play on words. A sensitive area here for a lot of Bucs fans, because they don't want to talk about the nitty-gritty of whatever happened here. Now, what we don't know is a lot of things. We don't know the conversation or the tone and what Jameis was saying to the driver in the vehicle. We don't know that. We don't know if he was...
Maybe that's part of why he said, if in any way My conduct made you uncomfortable. Remember in that opening statement that he claimed after this came out in November? Remember, didn't he have an extra line in there? I'm sorry if something made you uncomfortable. And you and I were saying, why did he even put that in there?
But let's say that he was, let's say Jameis was, you know, let's say he's hitting on her. He's verbally making the moves on her in the car. You're so beautiful, baby, and all this other stuff. And maybe she's laughing. Maybe she's uncomfortably laughing and he doesn't know it. Who knows? Whatever. We don't know. And nobody's saying anything like this. The visual, I think, of fans is she's just driving along and like Aqib Talib punching the cab driver out of nowhere, Jameis just grabs her crotch out of nowhere. But we don't know that. We're just assuming that. And we don't know if Jameis does his crotch grab for 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 3 seconds, who knows? And she either just, you know, rebuffs his advances or is uncomfortable for 3 seconds and looks at him with a weird face and he pulls away and says, ooh, sorry. We don't know what happened. And
if he did do that, it's unacceptable. In my eyes, it's unacceptable.
I got you that it's unacceptable. And that's really what I was going to ask you. Is that unacceptable enough to pull a guy off the franchise because he's with a woman and he's drunk and he gets his own version of mixed signals, and he does that for 4 seconds. She says no or implies no, and he says ooh and pulls off. I don't know. I don't know if that's – I mean, we're such a fine line here. Tom Jones of the Tampa Bay Times says, let's call it what it is, sexual assault. That's a serious crime. I'm not sure that's what we have here.
That's why I want to wait till the NFL statement, and it better be a lengthy statement. I don't want two paragraphs, and you know, I want more paragraphs than the games of suspension. You know, you spend three, I want 12 paragraphs. I want four times. Look, Steve, having said all this, and this is, you know, this is another part of the story, I rebuff, and that's a mild word. I am ashamed of people that call themselves Buck fans that say season's over, 0-3. They're done. I don't care when Winston comes back. We're going to be buried. Steve, what kind of fan are you? I mean, they were saying it. Some of them were saying it as soon as the schedule came out. Now they're even saying it even more loudly with, you know, the idea that Fitzpatrick's going to be in there. Steve, if Ryan Fitzpatrick can't win one game out of three, well, why is he on the football team? Why is he here? So, you know, they come out of this 1-2. We'll see what happens. They go to Chicago. Then there's a bye week. I said it in that column, Steve. It's worth repeating. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Isbitz, and you don't usually need any prompting. Correct me if I'm wrong. But with Winston sitting on his butt at home watching the Bucs play in New Orleans, does that preclude Jason Pierre-Paul from putting Drew Brees on his ass? Does anybody say that can't happen? Does anybody say that Noah Spence can't break through around right end and tip a ball from Drew Brees into the arms of Vernon Hargraves? What I'm saying is, this is not a one-man team. And if it is, then Jason Light hasn't done his job. And I can tell you this pretty forcefully. Ownership is of the belief that they are not going to start 0-3 because they think this is a pretty darn good football team with a lot of talent. And for a short period of time, they can overcome the absence of Jameis Winston and not call it a lost season. And I happen to agree with them.
Your backup quarterback is not there to go 0-3. If he goes 0-3, there's a systemic problem. He's not that good. You're not playing well.
You don't have a good team.
You don't have a good team. You should at least be able to win one out of three.
Two of them are at home.
Even against those great opponents, you should be able to win one out of three. Now, my question to you is, just for fun, since we want to put a little football into this, I'll give you a hypothetical. Bucks play pretty solid football, but they're 0-2. They lose to the Saints. They come home for the Eagles. All right, tight game. They lose. Fans are in uproar. Heads are down. Monday Night Football. In comes Tony Dungy. And Ryan Fitzpatrick has a great game. Ronald Jones is lighting it up. Defense is there. Bucks win 35-28. And you bring Jameis back in week four after he's been sitting on a short, and now it's a short week after Monday Night Football. You're going to the Bears. Do you put him back in the lineup?
That's a no-brainer, Steve. That's a no-brainer. You use the imminent bye week to your advantage. You put Fitzpatrick out there in Chicago. Winnable game. Yeah, the Bears are going to be better than last year, but that's not an elite team. Who do the Bears have? They got a young quarterback that's more unproven than Jameis Winston at this point. So with the bye week following, you need time to get Winston ready. And yes, after the bye week, I'm playing Winston. I got no illusions about playing Fitzpatrick for 16 games. I don't. I think what's going to be very interesting, Steve, is the first home game that Winston does play in. What's going to be the reaction from the fans? I call it a mixture of boos and cheers. I think there's going to be more cheers. Other people aren't too sure of that. What do you think about that? How do you think the reaction will be?
Well, I think that we're not going to know a true reaction, and I say that because the Bucs' fourth game, when Jameis could come back, that's on the road. Then there's the bye week. Then they go to Atlanta.
Right.
And they start a stretch of 4 out of 6 on the road. So by the time he gets back home, there'll be a lot of time. We'll get to see how he performs on the field, and that could shape everything.
Maybe part of it will be the Buc record at that point.
It'll be a lot of factors versus, okay, he's back, he's at home, let's see what the fans say. We'll never really know. But one thing we will know, and I got to ask you this, Ira, because it ties to what you just said. On your podcast, we sat down with Jameis Winston just a couple of weeks ago. For fans who haven't heard it, go back. Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, this is where you can listen to the podcast, all of the podcasts, subscribe. It's free, you get a nice alert. Podcast numbers are soaring. Ira, Jameis was on the podcast, and he, not us, I asked him a simple question about, hey, Gerald McCoy says practices are better this year, and there's a whole different vibe, and you can see it in practice during OTAs in spring ball. What's going on here, Jameis? What's the difference? Jameis is the one who said, well, last year we had the hard knocks, and players worried about hard knocks and worried about off-the-field things. This year, no distractions.
I thought it wasn't a distraction.
Well, this Jameis is the one who brought up, quote unquote, he said, worried about hard knocks, worried about off the field stuff. Now it's just about us and whatever. Well, isn't this a bigger distraction, Ira? And isn't this an immature team that showed it couldn't handle distractions? How is Jameis going to handle this when you're asking him to be the guy and he's got the biggest distraction of them all?
I understand that, Steve. Hopefully they brought in some leaders in the offseason. Maybe Ryan Jensen be a leader up front. You got two guys off a Super Bowl that played fairly integral roles in the Eagles' championship run. Pierre Paul's been around the block a few times. It's a new team. It's a different team. But you ask a fair question. Compared to Hard Knocks, this is a distraction with a capital D. There's no question about it. I think an interesting offshoot, and it's part of your question, has some trust been eroded? With his teammates, with Dirk Koetter, with Jason Light, and probably most importantly, with the Glazers, probably most importantly. I think undoubtedly some trust has been eroded. He's going to have to work to repair that. I don't know if he can. Winning's going to be a big part of that. Steve, how's Dirk Koetter supposed to look at Jameis Winston right now? Because Dirk Koetter's not naive. The reason he got the job was his relationship with Jameis Winston. We had a report out towards the end of last season that relationship was frayed. We don't know the details of how that report ever got in the hands of Ian Rappaport, but it did. Both sides quickly denied that there was any smidgen of truth to it. And now you got to wonder if Koetter feels that Winston, no matter how this shakes out, is Koetter going to think, you know, you weren't totally honest with the organization, Jameis? Whether he did it or not with the groping, how he handled it, you know, in the aftermath, leaves a lot of room for doubt, Steve, whether he was upfront about it. We know for a fact, according to Dirk Koetter, Steve, at the very least, Dirk Koetter says he didn't know about it until November. He didn't tell the Bucs, unless you're going to say, well, the Bucs didn't bother to tell Dirk Koetter. That's not going to happen. Dirk Koetter has to know what's going on. So, Steve, at the very least, he didn't communicate the way he should with his own organization. I think that's a problem going forward.
FanRetreat.com, Ira, that's your home for Bucs tickets.
Speaking of communication, Steven.
Rays tickets, the sizzling hot Rays, and all sports tickets, event tickets, concert tickets, flights, hotels, whatever you need. FanRetreat.com has got it for you. Rent a cars, whatever. And FanRetreat.com and us, we're asking you, if you want to go to the Bucs game, if you're thinking of going to the Bucs game opening day, Ryan Fitzpatrick against Drew Brees at the Superdome. Huge party the night before with the stick carriers, Ira Kaufman, Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucs fan.
The commish.
The commish, of course, the leader of the stick carriers. They wouldn't be there without him. We want you to text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. That puts you in the list, puts you in the queue to get all the updated information on the trip from fanretreat.com. Of course, booking is going to be starting ASAP. And fanretreat.com, though, is there for you 24/7. Use your Joe Bucs fan discount code, fanretreat.com. Ira, you got any concerts coming up that you're looking at?
No, but I've been tweeting birthdays. I had Jeff Beck out there the other day. You know, I'm all over this stuff. Of course, you're going to say, who's Jeff Beck? But
Actually, I'm a big fan of Jeff Beck, actually. Yeah, big fan. But the solo stuff, not...
Yeah, the solo stuff.
The solo stuff.
Understand. All right. You know, they call New Orleans the Big Easy, Steve. Long had that nickname. It's called the Crescent City, the Big Easy. It's not going to be easy in the Big Easy.
I thought you were talking about Muriel Berkowitz for a minute.
Never mind that, Steve. You never forget a name. Steve, what's wrong with this team making a statement? What's wrong with it? Why can't it happen?
Well,
the Buffalo Bills make the playoffs. The Jaguars came within an eyelash of a Super Bowl with Blake Bortles. Now, I don't see Calais Campbell and Jalen Ramsey necessarily, and Leonard Fournette. On the 2018 Bucks, these guys are all top 100 players. And by the way, Ramsey and Campbell made the top 20 list.
Look,
top 20.
Fitzpatrick proved to all of us last year he can win football games.
He won 10 games for the Jets a couple years ago.
He can throw the football. It's not a question of can he do it. And you know what? As smart as Fitzpatrick is, and he gets the accolades from everybody who's been around him, I like Fitzpatrick with a month to prepare for the Saints. With no Mark Ingram, and for him to get those looks at the Saints defense, he spent a year in the division watching film on them now last year.
Look, Steve, the Saints were 7-point favorites before Winston any of this came up. So maybe that gets bumped up to 9 or 10 with Fitzpatrick on this. I don't care.
Yeah,
I want to see this pass rush.
I agree with you.
You have a pass rush or you don't have one?
I'm not hanging my head on opening day because, Ryan Fitzpatrick is out there. Now, if he was out there the whole season, it's another story. But for opening day, I'll take it. Now, I got to pin you down on the Glazers, Ira. Enough of this dancing around here. Team Glazer knows, and they knew 3 weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, back in March when you met with them, but you also met with them in May. They knew that this Jameis thing happened in March 2016. They knew that this is kind of old news. The Jameis Winston that they watch, that they've seen evolve, that they've seen mature, is not the guy from March 2016. It's almost 2.5 years later. I think that plays a factor.
And you mean the one who's very involved in community affairs?
Yes, yes. This isn't like, this happened over the summer, in May or something. This is a March 2016 incident, and I think Team Glazer, you tell me what you think, I think they see this thing way in the rearview mirror. I really do. That's just me. What do you think?
Now, look, they're not going to be happy about a 3-game suspension, nor should they be. And they're not necessarily going to be too happy about the way Winston has handled himself in the aftermath of the investigation vis-a-vis communicating with the Bucks and being straight with the Bucks.
But they knew that.
But you make a fair point. We're now almost 2.5 years past the incident. 2.5 years. And the incident happened in the offseason after his rookie year. So, yeah, I think they do tend to take that viewpoint. I think they're going to let things play out, Steve, in terms of the 2018 season. Let it play out. I don't think it's the wrong thing to do. Money-wise, it makes sense. Steve, he's not making a ton of money this fall. What are their options? You don't want, Fitzpatrick. He's a backup for a reason. He can fill in. But over 16 games, I said his weaknesses will be exposed, and Cutter won't be able to, keep those weaknesses hidden from opposing defenses. He's not a magician. You play to the guy's strengths, I understand. But ultimately, there's a reason that nobody gave him a chance to be a starter. And he decided that, so that's why he signed with the Bucks. He knew he wasn't going to be in any kind of competition. If he thought he had a shot at a starting job, he would have taken it somewhere else. Even in this offseason, certainly the offseason before that. So he's a backup and a good one. I think the Glazers are going to take a wait-and-see attitude. And as I wrote in my column on Monday, Steve, maybe even more important than the character issues, or at least equal. You got to win. Jameis, you got to win. You're 18-27. Now, Mariota's 20-22, but his team made the playoffs last year. And rallied past Kansas City,
a
game that I will have a hard time still digesting after, I believe it was 21-3 at the half, and it was a disaster.
It's a great comeback.
Now, remember, Tennessee's first touchdown with the great Mariota, it was a ball that went off the defender's hands back into Mariota's hands, and he ran it in 7 yards for a touchdown. I'm not going to do cartwheels, for the Mariota fans out there. And I don't think it's necessarily obvious that the Bucs made a mistake taking Winston over Mariota.
No.
I think that's nonsense.
Right now it's nonsense, but it's still early. But I understand why people would say that, because here they are, fourth season. He's suspended for everything they thought, the haters anyway, everything they thought was going to happen 3 years ago. Here we are, 4 years later, fourth season, here we are. But I got two key questions for you, Ira. Two hardball, simple answers here. Regardless of the report that comes out from the NFL, this mysterious report, whatever it says, now we know Jameis is getting suspended, and whatever it says, Ira, do you think Jameis remains on the stadium facade no matter what? Will Team Glazer, you think they would take him off the stadium facade as a statement in any way? Or are they going to market him? He's our guy. Blow the trumpets.
Well, I think it would be extremely significant, I think you'd agree, if they do so. If they take him off the facade, that would be the first step to running him out of town. It would give us a pretty good idea of where their heads are at vis-a-vis Winston. You know what it could depend on, Steve? The fan reaction after the NFL statement comes down. Right now you hear the scattered, voices, get rid of them, chop them up. I never wanted them in town anyway. This proves that we were right. We should have never drafted them. It was a mistake. We got to acknowledge a mistake.
You think they pull him down or not? Is he up there for good this year? Or you think there's a chance that they pull him down? You think it's based on fan reaction?
You pull him down, you're telling me that he's not going to be the long-range quarterback of the Buccaneers. That's what you're telling me. I don't think they're ready to do that.
You know who the last guy they pulled down was?
Lee DeCamper.
Doug Martin got pulled down before last season, taken down off the images on the stadium facade.
Nobody called him the face of the franchise, Steve. Nobody.
No, but they called him the face of the running game, face of the offense in a lot of ways. So, all right.
You asked me, and I said no.
I don't think they will. Jameis is up there. All right, next question. No matter what happens, Ira, with the results of the investigation, let's just say, well, you know what? I'll take that back. Let's just say the NFL says they believe that something inappropriate happened in that Uber. And
he violated the conduct policy.
Violated conduct, blah, 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 whatever. Do you think the Glazers, Jason Light, Dirk Cutter, or any Buccaneer who really matters, I'm not talking about Keith Tandy going out on a limb, will anybody step up and say, Jameis is getting railroaded by the league, this is a bunch of garbage, we believe he's innocent, and we're just taking our medicine here in a broken system? Will anybody stand up for the guy?
No. No. Unless the Glazers want to pull a Jerry Jones or a Bob Kraft. They didn't go gentle into that good night, and I know, in a way, that rubs you the wrong way. You don't think ownership's been strong enough, maybe in this whole regard. I think Cutter and Light have to take their cues from ownership. If the Glazers aren't willing to take a swipe at this conduct policy, how nebulous it is, how vague it is, how capricious it is, what other word you want me to throw in there? How much power Goodell has? If ownership's not willing to question that, I think Cutter and Light will remain silent in that regard. I do.
Wow. So you think that's spineless? That if Cutter believes his guy's getting railroaded, you don't think Cutter would step up, call out the commissioner, call out the league in hopes of rallying his guys to try to win some games and believe in Winston?
It's a nice fantasy.
I don't know.
Along with some of your other fantasies, I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's got to come from the top.
I got you.
This is a league matter.
I understand. Okay, and that's fine. We want your sage opinion. The hell with what I think. So, Ira, if that goes down, right, if Jameis...
I think they're going to take their punishment. They're going to take it.
So
in silence.
You think Jameis is going to take it in silence, too? If somebody says, Jameis, you feel you were railroaded by the league here?
I think he's going to take it in silence because it goes back to something you said about 20 minutes ago, and it's important. They've been negotiating. This thing has been negotiated for weeks, 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 weeks. Steve, we heard a while back, and I mean a good while back, that the Winston camp was preparing to get slapped down.
Yeah.
Maybe a month or two ago. So this has all been finessed, and you said with language. You're right. Language is important.
We'll see.
And we'll see. But he is going to get punished, and he's probably not going to appeal it. And people say, well, why not? Well, there's a lot of financial ramifications to that, Steve. The NFL, they may not rule on the appeal till 2019. And if that happens and Winston's still a buck, that's a lot of money, Steve. And you usually don't win those appeals.
Well, I'm very interested to see how the Glazers handle this. Very, very interested. You know, if the report from the NFL says Jameis did something bad or they believe he groped this woman.
Won't they just be happy, Steve, to reduce it from 6 to 3 under certain conditions?
I'm glad you asked that, Ira, because that's the football end of it. If the NFL comes out and says he groped somebody, we believe it. Suppose they lose 2 major sponsors at $1 million a pop. You know, that's going to ring a bell. That's going to get publicity. You know, that's going to go national. Oh, Publix pulled out from the Glazers from the Bucks.
But Steve, history tells us you can't fight it. You can't. It's futile. It's futile to fight it. They got too much power.
Right, but you can fight it for public perception of your own fans.
But Publix is still going to pull out. They're still going to pull out.
I got you.
Because unless the NFL rescinds the suspension. You don't see that. That would be almost unprecedented. So in this negotiation, you know, maybe it was going to be 6 games. They take their 3 games. Maybe the idea is, hey, we can win 1 out of these 3, and we'll get Winston back, and we'll be okay. But there are ramifications to this, Steve. There's no question about it. Public opinion, and I've said it before, for 2 years, the Winston skeptics have been crying in their milk. They've had nothing to say. And I'm not counting that thing he said at the public school, you know, that was made a big deal about in some circles. I'm talking about his conduct with his camps. He's been very involved in the community. And for 2 years, they have had nothing to say. And now they're going to feel justified. They're absolutely going to feel justified. And the Bucks are going to have a hard time refuting that.
I got you, Ira. Of course, your podcast, your columns, they're presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. It was so great to hear those offers, those June offers, winding down. So you head on over there. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We heard the offers to start the podcast, and you can go to their websites, edmorescadillactampa.com, edmorescadillacbrandon.com, a couple of offers for each location, or right at joebucksfan.com. Now, Ira, special announcement, 2 special announcements. One, Tuesday, the Buccaneers are going to be releasing training camp information, a lot of details. I have all the details, and today is Tuesday, but we're popping this podcast early in the morning, and in case the Bucks come out late with it.
You're not going to do an Adam Schefter over here. You're not going to do it.
That was part of the deal. So I have all the details. Training camp's going to be different, and a lot of it the same, a lot of it different. Some cool wrinkles, some not-so-cool wrinkles. We'll talk about that in the next podcast. But the good news is the next podcast is going to be Wednesday, not Thursday. We have more to say about Jameis. Lee DeKemper's coming back. And we want to make sure if we record it Tuesday, it doesn't get stale. So,
and we'll have the training camp schedule.
And we want to get that training camp news out there on Wednesday. So,
soon we'll be picking a takeover day, correct, at training camp.
Absolutely, with those dates out, and that's part of this. So Wednesday is in the next podcast. Tomorrow, or whenever you're listening to this, but Wednesday, the 27th.
Back-to-back podcast.
Back-to-back podcasts. And if something crazy breaks with Jameis, maybe we'll even have an emergency podcast. So we are hammering away here. Now, Ira, 2 last things before we get out of here. Big things, big things. One, I ran a poll at joebucksfan.com last night. And
I saw you got quite a few responses.
I always get quite a few responses. Ira, come on. People are on the side. There were 500 responses, I think, in about an hour and a half on a Sunday night. And the question was, I don't have it in front of me for the exact phrasing. I should, but I don't. The question was, when the NFL issues its report on Jameis, will you consider the NFL's findings as truth or spin, or you don't know or you don't care? And only, I think it was last check, 28, 27% will actually believe the NFL report and think
as
it's true.
Definitive.
As truth, as fact. Will you, Ira, will you consider it fact? Do you have that much faith that you'd put your hand up over the Bible and say, I believe this is 100% gospel truth?
Well, I'll believe it as fact if they they go into excruciating detail, which I think they should. Show your 8 months of work. You know in math how sometimes the teacher wanted to see your work, even if you had the right answer? Show me the work. That's what I say. Show me the work. Winston shows up at 6 in the morning. He's doing film work early. Show me what Lisa Friel uncovered here. Well, who are you protecting? Who are you protecting? This is a suspension of some magnitude here, Stephen, unless they reduce it to one game or something. And it merits detail. It merits transparency, not some kind of vague personal conduct policy. No, this is too important. This is, in some degree, going to shape the way public from here on out is going to look at number three. It's too important. This is not your backup safety over here. This is the up till now face of the franchise. The NFL has to realize that and respond accordingly, Mr. Goodell.
Fantastic, Aaron. I'm applauding in my mind.
Thank
Fantastic.
You, sir.
All right. Now, one of your colleagues, Ira, Tom Jones, a guy you've known for many, many years, Tampa Bay Times columnist, he went out there the day after the report came that said the NFL will eventually be suspending Jameis for the conduct policy violations. We don't know which ones tied to this Uber thing. Tom Jones wrote a scathing column saying Winston should never play for the Bucs again, never take another snap, move on. This guy's trouble, and let's call it what it is what Tom Jones wrote, quote, sexual assault, which is, of course, a major felony, and it was a big leap, but that's what he said, and he's got people, not everybody, not a majority, who believe him. Get rid of him. He should never play again. What do you think of what Jones wrote, the way he wrote it, that whole vibe out there on this is the end of Winston?
All right, a couple of things, Steve. First of all, to anybody out there that thinks Tom Jones should be a Buck cheerleader, they don't know what journalism is. That's not his job. He's supposed to give his opinion, and he gave it. Boy, did he give it. Now, ironically, I think when the Bucks were deciding between Mariota and Winston, I think he wrote a column saying they should take Winston, I believe. But he's entitled to his opinion, and he gave some evidence to back it up. You think he went too far in some degree. But as far as the whole general subject of getting rid of Winston now, immediately, don't even let him play his fourth season with the Bucs. Steve, I feel very comfortable in saying this. That's not a decision Dirk Cutter's going to make. That's not a decision Jason Light's going to make. Not a chance. Not a chance. It's an ownership decision. That's when they swoop in. Big time decisions, next coach decisions, face of the franchise decisions. And my feeling, my sense, and I sat down with the Glazers a month ago. Now, this is before they knew exactly how many games he was going to get suspended. They were well aware of this long investigation, and they probably had a sense that it's not going to end well at that point. And they still supported Jameis Winston quite a bit in our conversations, quite a bit. I think their attitude is let the season play out and then reassess, and then reassess. And I think that's what's going to happen. As much as Tom Jones says get rid of him, I don't think you're going to see it. You're going to see Jameis Winston in pewter in 2018. He better win, Steve. He better win. Too much invested. And another reason, Steve, here's the biggest reason why it's not going to be a Cutter and Light decision. Put yourself in the place of those two guys. Your butt's on the line. Your butt's on the line. What options do you have, Steve? Are you going to advocate to the Glazers to get rid of Jameis Winston and go with Ryan Griffin / Ryan Fitzpatrick? Is that what you're going to do when your own jobs are in jeopardy? They're on the line, Steve? So, no, that wouldn't come down. It's got to come down from the top. And my feeling is it's not going to come down from the top. The Winston haters are going to be disappointed. He's still going to be on this team.
It'll especially not come down from the top if they don't know what the hell happened in the vehicle. Now, the Glazers certainly are not going to pull some sort of hyper-crazy reaction without knowing the facts.
But Jameis has a lot of explaining to do, Steve, after this decision
he
comes
down. And I don't rule out Jameis not being here, and I hate the double negative. I think there's a chance he's not here in 2019. He's got to win. Otherwise, he's not worth the all the hassle and the fear and the negativity that's
Steve,
out there.
Steve, were there two Uber rides? Were there one Uber ride? He didn't say there were two Uber rides, Winston, in his statement.
He didn't say there were three. He didn't say there were four. I mean, that wasn't what his statement was about, how many Uber rides there were. So much splitting of hairs here. We don't know what happened. We're not going to know. And we don't know what he told the NFL. We don't know what he told the Glazers. We just know his one statement. And we know what...
I think we're gonna lack a definitive statement from the NFL,
Unfortunately, which is how we started this podcast. Are we going to get some truth? But you've delivered truth. You've delivered sage wisdom. We're going to watch you on Spectrum Sports Monday night. What other night this week?
Monday and Wednesday.
Wednesday night. So
one more bit of advice, Steve. One more bit of advice.
Me?
No. Oh, okay. If you'll...
I got off easy there.
If you'll allow me, sir. This goes out to Ronald Darby. Next time Jameis gets into any trouble of any kind, I don't care if it's jaywalking, keep your mouth shut. Don't say you're backing up Jameis Winston. Sometimes you do more harm than good, Mr. Darby. Stay quiet. Stay silent.
Yeah, Jameis's team, because you know that they're the ones who... asked Darby to put this thing out. I mean, just bungled. Whoever represents Jameis and his camp, and the Bucks are a small percentage of that, not a complete percentage, but the entire camp that represents Jameis's public relations interest, they're brutal, man. They have got to be some of the worst in professional sports because they just let this guy make wrong move after wrong move as far as the perception of everything. I don't know. A lot of questions left, Ira. We're going to hit more of them tomorrow. Which means tomorrow, meaning we'll record tomorrow for Wednesday's special Wednesday podcast. And Bay News 9 is Spectrum Sports. When you're tuned in there, Spectrum Sports 360, Wednesday night, 10:45,
I think it is.
10:45. Get to see the
they call
Sage.
It face off, baby. Face off.
Face off with the Sage. Anything else, Ira?
Nah, I got a nice blue jacket for Wednesday night. It's one of my three sports coats. If I get a bump in pay over here, I can afford a fourth one, Steven. Just let you think about that.
Another raise comment for the Sage.
There we go.
Soon it'll be his two-year anniversary. We'll start hearing it, the chorus. Hey,
there we go.
What's the bonus?
Javier's my agent, by the way. Javier, get ready, baby.